Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back to Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. I think DP might join us for a segment too at the 5 o'clock hour. One thing, big shout out to Strick, even though he broke the peace treaty. Another big shout out to Kevin Meyer, Meyer Cork and Bottle, 13th and South. Thirsty Thursday is always one of my favorite days of the week, even though I don't participate that much. It's always enjoyable to see Kevin. Go check him out. Got great deals and great people that work for him. Great atmosphere for his store. But with that being said, it's the draft is tonight. We're about, I think, two and a half hours away. It's always, you know, 1999 was a long time ago, but it, you know, you remember it like it was yesterday. And also, I think there's a little bit of hidden excitement around this draft just because of the new regime with the Patriots. They're number three. Normally, they're picking at the bottom of the draft. Obviously, they've been, you know, dominant for, you know, plenty of 20 odd years. And then you got the new look and new ownership, even though ownership changed hands last year, but it's the new look Commanders. And which is, you know, formerly of the Redskins and the Washington football team. And then you have the Chicago Bears that they're trying to break the curse of never having a franchise quarterback. Never once in their history. And so, you know, there's a lot of pressure in those first three picks. Then you starting to hear little rumblings of Marvin Harrison Jr. being the number two receiver going off. That means somebody else would be getting picked ahead of him. I think it's Malik Nabers has really, you know, ascended up the draft boards. And then who's the next quarterback after, you know, let's just say if it stays pat that it's Williams and Daniels. Does Drake May go? Or does J.J. McCarthy go? And if they go and people trade up and, you know, even the Giants at number six, they got Daniel Jones, who is, you know, getting paid $40 million or some $40 plus million a year. He's still on the books. Do you draft his essentially, you know, the guy's going to eventually take over for him. Where does he go or anywhere this year or, you know, does he get a draft day trade? And then does that make either the Raiders, the Vikings, or another team that we haven't thought about trade up into the first round? Then Michael Penix comes in there. You got to think about Denver with Bo Nix. And then who's after that? And who actually makes the right decision for the franchise? And before you start, Austin, you don't want to be like the Minnesota Vikings over 10 years ago where you needed a quarterback. Then you traded up and talked yourself into drafting Christian Ponder. Christian Ponder wasn't ready. You didn't have assets around him, receivers and all that other stuff. And then it was a wasted pick. And you traded up to get it. You want to make sure you have a plan for whatever happens. You got to get, you know, you got to be guessing. Anything and everything can happen. And after number one is picked with Caleb Williams. And then make your plan after that.
I hope we see a lot of trades and a lot of movement. It feels like we've gone a long time without a lot of movement and trades inside the top 10, especially. And one of those surprise teams, Jay, like just now being reported in the last 15, 20 minutes or so, the 49ers looking to move up. One of their trade chips being either Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, whichever one of these teams would prefer.
Yeah.
The tweet that I'm reading here from Diana Rossini says they're just looking to move up in the first round. But they've had conversations with a team, an unnamed team, in the top 10.
Yeah.
If San Francisco gets into the top 10, it's either a win now move. They're tired of being Super Bowl runner up. They're tired of just winning the NFC and they want to actually, you know, bring the big banana home this time. Or are they drafting someone to sit behind Brock Purdy? Potentially. Feel like now's the time to go get someone. I don't know.
I will tell you this. If they draft somebody in the top 10, he ain't sitting that long. Period. They don't have any money invested in Brock Purdy. They got more money invested into this new dude. Unless he can't play dead and you got Trey Lance, you know, 2.0, they're doing it. I don't really see them doing that. I think they figure they're going to try to find a way to not pay Brandon Ayuk or Debo Samuel. I don't know. I don't know who's more tradable right now. Debo Samuel has the resume, but what he also is shown in the last 2 years, he's injury prone. And then Brandon Ayuk has the one really good year.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, you know, he's at the apex now after that huge catch, you know, in Detroit, and he was really consistent all year. In his mind, he's a number one receiver. So with that being said, he's more of a true number one versus Debo. Debo's a gadget. So mm-hmm. This is also what's interesting here, Austin, is when you're, I don't want to discredit Debo, but they use him more of a gadget player, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his value with the 49ers is a lot higher than it would be with the Texans or the Colts or somebody like that. So then actually, he's not as tradable as you think.
Mm-hmm.
So actually for Debo, I feel like, okay, I'm in a power position here. Brandon Ayuk, if I want my money, not if, I want my money, I'm going to get my money
mm-hmm.
from San Francisco or somebody else, I'm forcing the trade tonight. I need that.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Debo might be the better player, but his game is less portable.
Yep.
I don't want to call him a system player. I think that's derogatory. But outside of San Francisco in Kansas City, maybe Miami.
Maybe. But you already got two guys there.
Right. Yeah. Who do you trust to get the most out of Debo? Maybe Ayuk's not a one. But any team can use a guy who masquerades as a one while being a 1B or a 2.
Mm-hmm.
More teams could find a fit in a play-in for Brandon Ayuk. Debo Samuel feels like he would go to waste with 29 franchises in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. And you'd have to have a right... Okay, who comes from that tree? You'd say Sean
McVay.
They got Cooper Kupp and
Nacua.
Not going to happen. Who else comes from there? Maybe LaFleur in Green Bay. Maybe because he
fit with Jordan Love.
I'm just saying, who was all on that Washington at that time Redskins staff? I'm just thinking about it, right?
So the Mike Shanahan coaching training pulled up here. So obviously Kyle.
Oh, it might be McDaniel, maybe Cleveland. Stefanski.
Oh, Stefanski. Yep. LaFleur. Kubiak, but he's not.
Yeah. Maybe it's some. I think Debo Samuel can win as a number two.
Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh as the OC with Russ.
That would be perfect for. That's the best spot for him.
Bobby Slowick, his dad, Bob Slowick, spent 8 seasons with Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, I'm talking about more of the staff that was with the Redskins that time, where they had McVay, Daniel, Stefanski,
LaFleur,
all those guys were on the same staff. If I had to pick one, Pittsburgh would be a good spot for him because he would destroy people in that division in the middle of the field. The problem is he's injury prone.
Yeah.
And his body type, where he's at, a little thicker dude, doesn't recover as well.
Doesn't age as well.
Yeah. I think he's fine in San Francisco. I think they need him. I think San Francisco feels like they can find somebody that can plug and play there. That's why they're thinking about maybe drafting somebody there.
But if you're San Francisco, is now the time to trade him? Maybe he has one more good year left in him, but do you trade him too early rather than too late?
Well, that's what they're talking about right now. Either way, they got to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then Brandon Ayuk, then his asking price just went up.
Way up.
So if you don't have any plans to keep Brandon Ayuk, you got to move him tonight. If I'm him and his agent, I'm making that move tonight.
If you're T. Higgins, do you want to be traded before Ayuk to try to get that money first? Or do you want that money second to see what Ayuk gets?
I think you want to get, ideally, you'd like to have a place where you're going tonight. Here's why. The wide receiver class is deep here.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want enough, you don't want teams to have these young guys and they'll be like, okay, well, we already just drafted this guy. You know, we'll wait for him. I need mine now.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's so deep.
Right.
There might be 6, 7, 8 guys that go in the first round.
Which would be insane.
Supply and demand.
We talked about that hit rate yesterday. Yeah. It's like, what, 1 in 3?
Right.
1 in 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then you could just roll the dice and play on the franchise tag and all that, and then they can't franchise you again. You could sit out for 10 weeks and only place it. There's plenty of options if you have to stay where you're at. But if I have a chance to go to a wide receiver needy place in a trade, I'm there tonight.
Get me there.
Yeah, because I want to get my contract done.
I'm sitting in my jet. Just tell the pilot where
and
to
they
go.
They should be working on it. I mean, you got to think. I'm on NFL.com, and here's their latest mock draft. It's seven rounds, and this is by Chad Ruder. He's not one of my favorites, but he got stuck with having to do 7 rounds. Everybody else, like Bucky Brooks and all them, you know, they did too. And there's a 1 of 4. So Caleb Williams goes to Chicago. Commanders take Jaden Daniels. Pretty much that's been, you know, pretty set. Patriots take Drake May. All right. A little bit, you know, I could see it, right? Because Drake May, they're thinking that he's kind of like Josh Allen because he's a great athlete. You know, I saw him play basketball in high school and Nick Saban and those guys recruiting. And his brothers, and all, he's a phenomenal athlete. They're trying to get to replicate what he did, not last year, but the year before.
He's the Josh Allen starter kit, but his upper end outcome is Josh Allen. His bottom end outcome is Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I don't think it is. And if I'm Drake May, I'm trying to distance myself
from that comp.
From that comp.
Yeah.
And that's what it follows you.
It does.
Here's the huge pick, right? Projected trade with the Arizona Cardinals. The Giants move up from 6 to 4 and take J.J. McCarthy. He actually fits more of the quarterback kind of like what the Giants want right now, but that's it right there, right? So then you think, okay, well, then here comes Jim Harbaugh. He gets Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 5, slips to him at number 5. And then the Arizona Cardinals get the receiver that a lot of people are at the beginning of the year beginning of the draft process was just as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. and Roman Andunza from Washington. So they get a number one receiver, and they get to move down. Then Joe Alt slips to Tennessee, who needs to get their offensive line. Then you got Quinnen Mitchell, corner from Toledo, going to Atlanta. Not a sexy pick, but you got a defensive-minded coach, fits right in there. Guess who gets Brock Bowers?
Chicago.
No, the Colts, number 9.
Oh, they trade up to Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago's doing. He said, we're drafting Caleb Williams. Okay, we're not going defense. We're going to get you a safety net. I like that. You don't like Brock Bowers?
No, I love Brock Bowers. Ballard doesn't trade up. Ballard never trades up in the first round, Jay. That would be a huge departure, and Bowers better be worth it.
Well, it's been eight years, he hasn't Ballard won the division. And Matt Eberflus are good friends.
So, they are.
So. Then the Jets
Jay, take, don't do that to my heart.
Bo Nix goes to the Vikings. This is how it could work. And then guess what? Denver's like, Bo Nix, who already has like 85 kids, we don't get him. We got to take the best pass rusher, Dallas Turner, who's pretty much like Von Miller. And then Neighbors slips to the Raiders, right? They're rolling the dice and going with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. That's a good way for Antonio Pierce to get fired real quick. You got Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle, because they traded down from Texas, probably the best interior guy in the last 2 or 3 years coming out. He's ascended past Newton from Illinois. So he's a pass rush threat, run stopper, big, strong dude, plays with tremendous amount of strength. And then Philly, again, takes an edge rusher, and Jared Verse from Florida State.
Did you take Verse or DeJean?
If I'm Philly.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I take DeJean. Philly, they've drafted outside rushers and still running it back with Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
Like
Derek Barnett didn't make
it. Derek Barnett didn't make it.
Let Hassan Reddick go.
Yeah, Nolan Smith. Yeah, and that was dumb too. Nolan Smith, we'll see. Yeah. I think he'll be good, but I think he's just too injury prone because he's so twitchy.
Yeah.
Terry Arnold goes to Jacksonville. Brian Thomas goes to Cincy. So that lets you know T. Higgins is on his way out. Another LSU receiver going with Jamar Chase. That's it. You know, continue to surround Joe Burrow with assets. Kansas City, Xavier Worthy fits right in with them.
Would you rather trade up for Xavier Worthy or trade for T. Higgins?
I would rather trade for T. Higgins, considering I got Patrick Mahomes.
T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk?
T. Higgins. That's a hard question. Kansas City's probably trying not, they're not trying to truly invest in their wide receivers. That's why they're going bargain shopping.
And they probably also don't want to help Cincinnati out with draft cap.
Yeah. But I don't know which one I'd want. I love T. Higgins. I liked him in college and coming out of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Or Brandon Ayuk. I'm going to go with T.
Higgins from Clemson.
Or Clemson, excuse me. Sorry about that. I'm going to go with T. Higgins because he's done it longer.
Fair.
Yeah. And been, you know, he's been essentially a 1B for, you know, quite some time, pretty much since he's been in the league. Pittsburgh taking Troy Fatunu, tackle from Washington. Jake's Dolphins takes the big offensive tackle from Penn State. Seattle Seahawks goes with the best and safest pick, Graham Barton, Duke, center. The hit rate, 92%. They said, listen, we ain't messing this draft up. You're going to get him. I get it.
Are they a sneaky landing spot for Penix?
Yes. Yep. They do well up there, but Pete Carroll's not there.
Right.
So who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, the Vikings gets the dude right here. They got Leila too, who I feel like has the most upside because I think he has the best variety of moves, right? He plays well in the run game. He's relentless, and he has superior quickness for a 6'5 long guy. I mean, he's got great feet. He had to play basketball or played another sport, soccer or something, and he can drop back in coverage. The only problem is he has injury history.
That neck injury is scary.
Right.
But Minnesota has that UCLA connection with Anthony Barr.
Anthony Barr and Phillips did okay, you know, obviously before, and I think he went from UCLA to Miami. So just you got to think a few years ago, Chip Kelly had Phillips and this dude.
Latu is a recent transfer. He was at Washington and then wasn't medically clear. And then just transferred the last couple.
But the thing is with him, the injury history, I understand it, but if he passes the medical and listen, these dudes ain't drafting these dudes trying to pay him any money. You're not drafting it. When you're drafting at 23, you're trying to get the best 4 years out of them. Mm-hmm. And here's a sneaky one here. Junior Colson from Michigan to Dallas. They lost Van Der Ash, so they need a middle linebacker. They got destroyed as the season went on because they had small guys playing linebacker.
Aaron Jones carved him up.
Yeah, and so that's a sneaky pick, but first round, though. I don't know if Junior – I take Jeremiah Trotter Jr. He gives you more flexibility in the pass game, three downs. But they're going Junior Colston. San Francisco, right now, with a trade from with Green Bay, they take Kool-Aid McKinstry. They go defensive back.
Corner. Pair with Charvarius Ward?
Yeah, corner. And here's a guy that I think is going to be maybe the bust. Chop Robinson.
Mm.
He, you know, they had – Tampa Bay had Shaq Barrett. He left. But
– Have Chop you said Robinson, Dallas Turner's name yet?
He went to Denver because couldn't get Bo Nix.
Okay.
Chop Robinson had 4 sacks last year, but he was off the charts in the combine. Something's not adding up.
Underwear Olympics guy, maybe.
Yeah, and then you got Arizona getting probably one of the best players in the draft in Cooper DeJean, 27.
Man,
crazy athletic ability. Fractured his leg last game of the season. Still tested out well. He ran a 4.4 after a fractured leg. Can play corner. Can play safety later in his career. Great return skills in the kick in the punt game. 27th.
Do you trust Arizona with him after Isaiah Simmons? I know Simmons was more a linebacker safety hybrid.
Yeah,
and DeJean's more a true DB.
You could literally play him in the slot because he's physical. You could play him in the corner. You can play boundary corner. You can play field corner because he's smart and he's played in every, he's played field and boundary corner with Iowa.
Parker, get you ready.
And he also played against or played on alongside a really good and Riley Moss. So he knows when you have to kind of work your way, you know, to this, you know, the island role. He can do that. So I think he'd be fine. Here's the first sneaky guy that's going to come into the first round, according to this dude that you never heard of. Marshawn Nealon. Outside rusher, Buffalo Bill, going to Buffalo from Western Michigan. They brought Von Miller back.
Mm-hmm.
You got Greg Russo who came on. You got AJ
Espinosa
that's when he plays well. He's just, you know, in and out of the lineup. Buffalo, you need receiver. You need offensive line. And you take an outside rusher.
What about like even Newton from Illinois?
I like that too, to go with Ed Oliver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that because but then and here's also your Detroit turns around, takes Darius Robinson edge from Missouri. I like him better than Nealon. Missouri has a history of having good defense linemen, especially outside rushers. Baltimore takes Oklahoma's offensive tackle, Tyler Guyton, physical. Mm-hmm. He's a physical dude, fits right in with Baltimore. Green Bay takes Ross Garten, the other offensive tackle from Washington, struggled in the national championship game like everybody else, but nevertheless, good grade. The Rams, number 32 pick, Nate Wiggins, corner from Clemson. That's a value pick because I've seen where Nate Wiggins has been as high as top 14.
Mm-hmm.
Really tested out well and had a good, you know, year. So
I'm not as sold on him. I feel like he's more an effort guy. I mean, he's long, he's rangy, he can run. I feel like he's still kind of raw, but if you can get him at 32 and work with him, you probably take that.
Yeah, it's a value pick because the upside is there. You know he's going to play hard, comes from a good program. The height, weight, speed, you know, when the computer output has not came to the field. Mm-hmm. His technique is not as tightened up as Arnold or anybody like that.
Mitchell, McKinstry.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, but that's just, look, he's... If you're telling me that you have a crazy athlete that plays purely on effort right now and you got to refine that, you're way ahead of than a lot of other teams having the draft guys. Boom or bust pick. It's just you're going to have consistent coaching, a good defensive back coach, good defensive coordinator, and develop them within a year. But here's the Raiders at number 33.
First pick of the second round.
Michael Penix Jr.
Woo!
I could see him like Lamar Jackson getting picked last and paying the most dividends. He has the potential to be the best quarterback of them all, getting the right situation. If I'm Michael Penix, I like it. If I go to the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
Devontae Adams, they were supposed to pick neighbors, you know, so you got two dogs right like that, and that works out well for him.
It really does. Get the right OC in there.
Yeah, and he kind of fits the Raiders, kind of cast off. You know, being overlooked.
Not a jerk, though.
No. I don't know why people... I don't know why he's not a surefire... Maybe it's a medical thing. It's definitely not an athletic ability thing.
Well, here are the arguments against these quarterbacks, right? Because Strick and I, during On the Block, had who's the quarterback for argument. I gave Drake May top three just because it seems relatively consensus. The knock on McCarthy is that he hasn't had to put a team on his shoulders because he's been surrounded by so much talent. You don't know what he can do and what he can't do. The knock against Bo Nix is that he's old. He's got to step in from day one and be ready to go. He doesn't have time to get seasoned. Otherwise, he's not really a prospect. And the knock on Penix is even though he's maybe bigger than people would give him credit for, he doesn't look like it. He doesn't always play like it, right? He's beat up. So you can see the positives for all those guys too, right? Nix, I think, led FBS in completion percentage. And not on all easy throws, not on all layups. Like, he's got an arm. He got better in college.
Yeah.
McCarthy, maybe you throw intangibles, you throw potential in that mix. And Penix elevated his team, made some high-level throws consistently, even as funky as it looked. He's really good in the pocket. And I brought this up, and I want your take on this too, right? Guys like Daniels and even Penix to some degree and other guys in the past get dinged for, oh, he's throwing to NFL receivers.
Right.
Well, guess what? When you get to the NFL,
you're throwing NFL receivers.
Yeah. To me, that's a benefit if they're surrounded by NFL talent because they know catch radius. They know how they get off press coverage. They're used to throwing to NFL athletes. So I almost trust Penix more having thrown to NFL athletes.
Exactly. And the deep ball is surprisingly, I'm not surprised, but tremendously accurate.
Despite the mechanics.
Mm-hmm. And he could fit him in, and he outdueled Caleb Williams on the road at USC.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people could talk themselves out of drafting somebody, and they can talk themselves into drafting somebody they shouldn't. And that's what the draft. There's no right or wrong formula for it. The funny thing about it, before we get to the 5 o'clock hour, I was listening to a podcast, and they had my man Greg Williams on there, and he talked about the time that when he was at Cleveland, and there had been arguments in their war room per se about drafting Mitchell Trubisky number one or Myles Garrett, to the point up until 2 hours before the draft. And I could see Greg doing this. He said, I'm going to go in there to the media room, if you draft Mitchell Trubisky, and tell them all the names that decide to draft him. Magically, it turned right to Myles Garrett. So that lets you know you got Myles Garrett that's pretty much been dominant in the league since the day he stepped on the field.
As long as he's not swinging helmets.
Swinging helmets, but still dominant in the league. And Mitchell Trubisky, who just ended up being borderline NFL bust. He's known now as the guy that was drafted to Chicago, not Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
hey, never forget Jordan Poyer saying he was a great teammate last year in Buffalo, though.
He was. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean that he's a great teammate. You're not a great player. And you're nowhere near Myles Garrett, but that lets you know how teams can mess up a draft. And there's probably, Myles Garrett, they were like, the motor doesn't always run, hot, but look at him now. I mean, it can happen, man. I mean, I think some people learned, when you draft a quarterback number one, if he's not really a number one guy and you're drafting him for other reasons besides what he does on the field, it's the wrong move. And Cleveland got it right, but almost got it wrong. So you think about some of these guys that are getting overlooked and getting drafted probably higher than they should. It happens all the time. San Francisco, right? Super Bowl runner up. They drafted Trey Lance, traded him. They gave away the farm for him. Right. So, Carson Wentz looked like the great pick right there. Now he's just a guy. I mean, we've seen him. Right. And so you just never know what people are made of after they get drafted. So
did we talk about the fact that he landed in Kansas City with Andy Reid?
Listen,
like, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter. But isn't that fascinating?
It means he's going to get free checks.
Right.
And then if somebody needs a quarterback, he gets traded. You might get a contract just because you got coached by Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be like Chad Henne and just, we need you to win a quarter and play there forever. I think Andy Reid knows he has potentially one of the greatest of all time. And I think these guys that he gets at backup are kind of like keeping him like fresh and coaching. And plus also, before we go to break, Andy Reid and the GM, Brett Veach just got extension. So Andy Reid ain't going anywhere. The big talk down there when I was at Super Bowl with Jake is this it for him? Letting you know, he still wants to eat cheeseburgers and barbecue in Kansas City. So, anyways, good first segment. It was preluded by the crossover, me and Strick, and also Thirsty Thursday. We're going to take a quick break, come back, more draft talk, 5 o'clock hour. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We'll be right back.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.